This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July the 10th, 2012, episode 441. Good morning, Horse World. Well, Horses in the Morning, in case you didn't hear yesterday on the show, is now live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the summertime to allow us hosts a little bit more time over the summer here to get other things accomplished. So on Tuesday and Thursday over the summer, we're going to bring you one of the other terrific shows from the Horse Radio Network for you to enjoy, and we'll mix it up a bit each week. If you caught this episode already, please feel free to join us again live tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. And of course, you can catch all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning with Jamie, I, and Jennifer at horsesinthemorning.com or subscribe on iTunes by searching for Horses in the Morning. Today's feature episode is the Eventing Radio Show, episode 203, brought to you by Bit of Britain. And if you haven't had a chance to listen in to Samantha and John, the terrific new co-hosts of the Eventing Radio Show, then this will be a good episode for you to tune into as they talk about the teams that have been selected for the upcoming Olympics and chat with a couple members, one of the Australian team and one of the New Zealand team. And of course, John and Samantha are both in England right now, both around London. So they're bringing their coverage to you right from the source of all the fun, where the Olympics are going to be held in just a few short weeks. So enjoy this episode of the Eventing Radio Show, and we'll see you tomorrow morning live here on Horses in the Morning.
This is episode 203 of the Eventing Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network for the week of the 5th of July. Teams, teams, Barbary, and more teams. We would like to thank our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, offering supplements designed to give you the most value for your dollars. Visit them at kppusa.com, and Bit of Britain, fulfilling the needs of eventers for over 25 years at bitofbritain.com. I'm Samantha Clark in Henley-on-Thames, England.
And I'm John Kyle in London, England. Welcome to the Eventing Radio Show.
Good morning, John. The sun has actually come out for once. Long may that last, although I don't hold out much hope.
Oh, well, I'm only about 20 miles from you, and we've had heavy drought overnight. We've had several inches of drought. More events cancelled this weekend. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, On.
I know we seem to start every show talking about the weather, but today, happy 4th of July to all our American friends, and we'll be celebrating in spirit with you here in England.
So I hope there's no sore heads today when you're listening to the Eventing Radio Show on Thursday the 5th. Since last week when we spoke, Locog have done a 50% U-turn. Ticket holders for the show jumping will now be led into the horse inspection, Samantha, on show jumping day. We're very excited. Justin Hull came on to our website and commented about how we treated it last week. And he's absolutely right. I probably did dismiss slightly how strongly people feel about the ability to get into these horse inspections, as indicated by Hugh Thomas's resignation. So a 50% U-turn, and we're going to keep our eye out for that video/web streaming idea that you and we, you and I discussed as well.
An Eventing Radio Show 50% U-turn. And also, the Australian appeal has been dismissed, so their team has now been confirmed. So that's good news for Clayton, Lucinda, Andrew Hoy, Chris Burton, and
Shane Rose.
Shane.
And there are three horses in the air at the moment from Australia, including Shane's horse, Taurus. So they're bringing up some reserves from Australia that will probably be receiving, I assume, Equine Australia high performance funding to stay here for Burley if they don't get the call up for the Olympics.
Thank you. What other news do we have, John?
Well, on British team news, on the day that we were expecting all sorts of teams, the American, the Kiwi, and the Irish potentially on Monday, we got news of the British team. Sadly, Piggy French and Topper. Topper sustained an injury just after Barbary. And Nicola Wilson and Opposition Buzz are now in. I know one of the web TV channels over here was interviewing lots of riders about their hot topic of the week, which was British team selection. And every American rider they spoke to at Barbary went, it's great that Opposition Buzz isn't there. I don't have to compete against him. So Opposition Buzz is now in the team. So, so hard for Piggy. She's in fact lost two horses in the run-up to the games. That is horses big time. And so great for Nicola to be in the team and finally get her Olympic call-up after all the hard work she's done for the team. So really mixed emotions.
Yeah, a bittersweet piece of news there. And also the same thing a little bit, we'll talk about it later, but I went to the Kiwi announcement of the New Zealand team and slightly the same situation for Clark Johnson, although he hadn't been confirmed as a member of the team. They all felt sorry that he wouldn't be there as his horse. Orient Express, who went beautifully at Barbary in the three-star CIC, he then withdrew him from team selection. So we have some good news. Our summer campers who we spoke to, they went to the Dutton Eventing Camp. Tiffany and Jessica wrote in and put on our Facebook page that they won their first event at South Farm Horse Trials. Not their first event. They won the event at South Farm Horse Trials. They each won their own division. And they said it was the Eventing Radio Show and Eventing Nation Karma. And please can we mention them again. So good luck at your next event, girls. And thank you very much for keeping us posted.
Now we'll have to keep in touch with them, if only to keep them on top of their wins.
So, well, Barbary was a great event. I really enjoyed myself despite the weather. And I think we both talked to lots of different people, which was good and kept in the game. Who did you speak to, John?
Well, you know, in the margins, you sort of catch up with everyone at an event like that because it's an amphitheatre, Barbary. You can sit there and watch everything. And if you're in the right place, you'll find that riders sort of congregate where you do, so you can potter around amongst them. But with the Australian team just off the back of their appeal as we went into Barbary, I took the opportunity to catch up with Lucinda Fredericks, first of all, to talk about the Australian situation.
Lucinda, great to catch up with you here at Barbary. You had a fantastic Le Moulin with flying finish. You must be so pleased.
I did have a good Le Moulin. Everything went to plan. Very good dressage. A little bit off the pace in the cross country, which was planned. Didn't want to burn him out too much, just in case, you know, we had a possibility of getting selected. And a solid showed him in clear. So, yeah, I was couldn't have been more delighted, really. The horse really found it very much within his capabilities. He's now back in full work, and I galloped him today, which is exactly 2 weeks after Le Moulin, and he feels fab. So he's on the team now officially. I've got another 4 weeks to go till really cross country day, and yeah, it's a really good feeling.
No, I mean, I watched Hamish Cargill wrote a nice thing saying there's about 15 combinations in Australia, such as the strength and depth, that could have challenged for that place. First of all, your team of Shane, Christopher, that husband of yours, you and Hoy Boy. I mean, you must have thought when that came out, God, that's a competitive team. That's going to have a real challenge.
Well, I wouldn't want to be a selector. Obviously, I'm delighted that Clayton and I have another chance on the same team together, because it's not easy, you know, doing the husband and wife thing. And yeah, if all those horses come really good, which I think they could very, very easily, hopefully we'll be in those winning medal positions.
What, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs for it, and you don't have to say anything, but it must have been a nail-biting week or so just to know, yeah, we do all have those places.
To be honest, I was away in Holland. I went out to a lovely event at Maasberg and with our daughter Ellie, two ponies and two horses with the two-star. So I was completely, pretty well oblivious of the whole thing, which was probably the best thing for it. There was no point, you know, stressing about it. Apparently it sort of happens most times, most years, and in most selection processes. So, yeah, it was really going through the motions, and eventually the word came through that, you know, as opposed to being nominated, it was an official team. So now we, you know, as I say, it didn't make too much difference. I was away, and my horse was having that week off anyway. And I will only now just train and probably go cross-country schooling between now and London. I'm happy not to run my horse again.
I'm sure there's all sorts of malarkey on foot, is collecting uniforms and accreditations and whatnot. But with the five horses, will you do anything as a squad together before you all turn up in the stables at Greenwich?
The team horses and the reserve horses all meet up at the Unicorn Centre. We have a week of training there, which I think will be really interesting, good fun, good time to, you know, work out how we're going to play things. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a very different situation to Hong Kong, where we were there for sort of 12 days, you know, and recovering from jet lag and getting used to the heat and everything. And this, you know, just being having the quality training that we're going to get with Brett Parbury and Gilbert Botman is going to be a good experience anyway. So, yep, 17th, we're in there, and hard slog.
And what's it going to be like, though? I mean, because you and Clayton, you're both enormously busy. You've got a barn full of horses. You know, to go away, is that going to be something of a relief to just go in and concentrate on that one horse and almost rediscover it as an individual?
No, I'll probably get thoroughly frustrated, to be honest. I'm not very good at just sitting still and everything. I've got, you know, I've got Ellie to think about. But Prue Barrett, who's the sort of team trainer manager, she's very, very communicative. And we've got a plan made up for each rider, each horse. We can do exactly what we want on each single day. We can gallop when we want, and it'll all fit in. And we've got, I think, the uniform fitting's on the 18th, so we're all going to ride early and then go up to London for that. And I think then it will start to hit home. It is going to be an amazing competition. The sad part is, it's going to be over in a flash. You know, we're going to be in there and out of there before we've even blinked. At least in Hong Kong, we had 3 weeks. And even after the competition finished, we had 4 days of solid partying. You know, we're going to miss that. But in comparison to spending the time at London, we're going to really make the most of it. Concentrate hard, be fit, be ready for it. I feel very good physically as well as mentally. And I'm very lucky to have this opportunity. And I'm, you know, very focused, and I feel very confident that this horse will do a good job. It's a very different feel for me to having Hedley Britannia go to Hong Kong, who had to be at her maximum every time she ran. She was at her maximum. She had to try so hard every single time. This horse, it's so easy for us.
Well, the best of luck from all of us to Chris, Andrew, Shane, and you and Clayton. We really hope you're going to do so well. And maybe, you know, a bit of an individual medal for you in flying finish.
Anything's possible. Anything can happen on the day, but with some luck, hopefully I can do a good job for Australia. That's my aim, is to do a good, solid job for the Australian team.
Hi, Glenda Geek here, and I am with Molly from Bitter Britain with the Bitter Britain Product of the Week.
I'm going to talk about my Nun Finer brushing boots, which are personally one of my favorite products that we carry, and one of the first things I purchased from Bitter Britain when I moved out to the East Coast last year. So, but basically, they come in 3, 4, or 5 strap single closures, and they do have a neoprene on the inside and then an outer plate that does block your horse if they brush up against themselves when you're riding. And I have literally used these boots from warming up to dressage to school and cross country. And, you know, when I was a working student, I used them on every single horse that went through our wash stalls. So I absolutely love this product.
There's one eventer I know that had, because they come in a multitude of colors, which is one of the fun things about them. And there's one of the eventer I know that has all the colors. Then they can use the color that best fits their mood that day.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. Because you can get them. They have burgundy, hunter, pink, purple, red, royal blue, white, yellow. They just come in a whole bunch of different colors.
I know. Personally, I like the pink, but it's a little bit too hot for me. I need more of a baby pink. So I'm going to make that suggestion to to John Nunn to maybe create a baby pink, and then maybe we can do some breast cancer awareness with it or something like
that. Well, you know, that's the problem with horse people is no matter what, how many different colors you have, somebody's color is always a little bit different. The price is good, too. You know, they're at $48.95. That's a pair, I assume.
Mm-hmm. $48.95 a pair.
Well, that's terrific. You can find the Nunn Finer Brushing Boots at bitofbritain.com. Just search for brushing boots, and they will pop up. Thank you, Molly.
So thanks to Bit of Britain. Don't forget to check out all of their offers at bitofbritain.com. Now, of course, for the Americans, Samantha Barbary was a massive trial in almost every sense of the world.
Yes, and they went so well. I mean, apart from poor Boyd falling on Neville, the first one to go cross country for the Americans, they did great dressages on the whole, perhaps were scored somewhat harshly or thought they were, jumped very nicely and went, you know, all of them went clear cross country with, some various amounts of time falls. But I was really proud of them.
I think they did a great job, and they really, you know, came into that contention that we've been talking about, those six teams that really are dicing for those three team medals at the top of affairs, all, of course, being well. That's always horses. Well, we caught up with Boyd Owe and Will Coleman. Let's hear what they had to say in Wiltshire.
Boyd, just waiting for the prize giving here at Barbary. You've finished up really well, but it's been a day of ups and downs for you with your three.
Well, that's the beautiful thing with having three horses. You know, if you come here with one, it's either really good or really bad. Unfortunately, my most seasoned horse was first on today, and we had a good round except for about a third of the way around. We clipped a leg at the Rhino water jump, and I went flying through the air and looked up at the nice sky.
That's why it happened, because it's a hippo, not a rhino, boy.
whatever it was, I definitely got the fence wrong, and unfortunately, my day didn't start off the best of ways, you know.
So Otis then and Remington did well for you, though, today. Two nice clears.
Yeah, both those boys are good horses, and both very, very different to ride. Otis is a big, scopey jumper that's powerful and eats up the ground, and then little Remington's like a little bunny rabbit. It sort of scoots around, and so with the Otis ride, I sort of was trying to hold him back and settle him, and Remington I was trying to kick on and cut a few strides out here and there.
Now, of course, you're all over here in the UK at the moment thinking about the Olympic Games, and you've got three horses here at Barbary this weekend. What's the match practice been like since you've been over here? Obviously, you're with Philip and you've got a great relationship. Some of the other guys have been trained by Philip too. Is that all sort of helping that you've got that little sort of Dutton team, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, Philip's been a role model, a father figure or coach or whatever you want to call it in there. He guided me through my first US team experience in 2010, and I think he's really guided a number of us with our fitness program, our riding, our course walks here, and he's a wonderful, wonderful competitor, but more importantly, he's a very unselfish person that was definitely trying to help the younger guys out, like myself and Coleman and Clark and stuff like that, and he's a very, you know, he's just a wonderful guy, and I think we're all very, very lucky to have someone like that helping us along.
Alongside the three-star here at Barbary, you've got the four-star Olympic dressage test. Now, it's quite intense because it's only 4.5 or so minutes long, and it has a lot of collection in it as well.
I took the time with my dressage coach, Michael Berestone, that came over from America, and we watched the test and analysed it, and I think it will suit Otis more. It's got no rein back, and it's got no walk pirouettes, which are two worst movements. So, I got to say, I think it's got a little bit more flow than the one we did at Kentucky this year. I think it suits me a bit better, a bit less to remember, actually.
You're over here into quite a high-pressure selection situation, but you've had enormous interest since the true prospect fire, and NBC have just really switched on to you in the last 6 or 8 weeks or so. So in a way, it must be quite nice to be over here slightly away from that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're dead right, you know. It's just your normal lifestyle in America. There's you know, 35 horses in work, you've got the pressures of teaching, you've got horse sales going on, you've got all different things sort of grabbing and pulling you in all different directions. And I've got to say, when you're in this sort of situation where you're taken away and just told to focus on a couple of horses, you do find that your riding gets better and your focus gets better. So I think it's a good thing for me, just because I try and do everything at once and outside this sort of time.
I think, you know, if you guys like you got 35 horses in the barn, you're probably quite lucky to have three over here rather than just one that gets all your concentration every day.
I mean, it's a little bit unsettling. All the guys on the team, on the squad here, are used to being flat out riding and teaching all day, and it's hard to stretch it out. I'm lucky, you do three horses and you take them for a nice long walk and do a cup of coffee between each one. You can drag it out to three quarters of the day, but it's pressure, and you start pacing around a little bit, wondering and looking for things to do. But I've been running with the guys. We're living in a house together, Philip, Clark, Will, and Fordry, and we're playing a game of tennis in the afternoon or going for a run, and trying to stay out of the pub before 6 o'clock. So it's one of those things.
And what's the American timetable from here today, Sunday at Barbary, on to the announcement?
Well, the brutal vet check is tomorrow, Monday. So we've got a crew of veterinarians, checking over every inch of the horses. And then I think all the American selectors are here in Barbary, and they went out to the site yesterday at Greenwich Park and analysed the terrain and the course. And so they've got that in the back of their mind to consider which horses suit the terrain. And it's a tough thing. I truly am against this selection once we're over here. I think they should have selected the team when we're in America, just because, you're with a group of your friends, but you're also battling to get on a team. So we'll see what happens.
Boydo, thank you and best of luck.
Good on you, mate.
Will, catching up with you just before the prize giving here at Barbary as well. You had a nice day with Twizzle today. Good cross country. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I thought the horse ran really well. He obviously hasn't been out since Kentucky. And really, we just wanted to give him a nice run. I thought he went kind of reasonably quick enough and didn't really want to go flat out and try to get the time or anything. But he ran at a good pace, handled the terrain well. It's a really fit course here. And he jumped everything, nicely. So I was happy.
I haven't been paying attention, but I didn't realize it's been since Kentucky, I think, because I've seen you on other horses. But was that the plan? I mean, I know in England they've cancelled everything, but in America you've had the chance to run. Why is that?
Well, I think normally after you run a four-star event, you're always a little bit, you give the horses a little bit of time and, let them recover, because obviously, an event of that caliber, it does take its toll on the horse. And he's an older horse. I mean, he's 16 years old. So, I didn't feel like it was necessary. He's never a horse that needs to run a lot. I didn't think it was necessary to run him anywhere before he came here. I'd been around this course before, so I knew the lay of the land and that kind of thing. And I really trust that horse on the cross country. He and I have a good record in that phase. And so I just wasn't worried about the possibility of coming here and not having a run before, because I felt like he would have done fine anyways. So.
A lot of the riders were saying it's quite a deceptive course here, because it certainly walked fairly simple, and then actually it became clear that there were a lot of opportunities to have a silly 20 penalties. But it was a good day for the U.S.
Yeah, I thought the American horses did run well. And the course is a little bit, it kind of lulls you into that false sense of security. But I think it's easy to kind of ignore maybe what these hills and this terrain is doing to your horse and to his balance and to his stride length and that kind of thing. So when you do come to something more technical, say like this water here at the end of the course, or the double corners, or the keyhole to the skinny brush, it'd just be easy for you to misjudge kind of what horse you have underneath you. And so you do have to always be aware of kind of where your horse is, whether he's tiring a bit or whether he just feels long in his step, and kind of make an adjustment if you need to.
We were asking Boyd, because Boyd's got three horses over, so he's got 10% of the 35 he's normally got in the barn, but you're here on one horse. I mean, you're watching a lot of Wimbledon on the TV?
You know what? It's a real struggle, actually, to come over here and basically drop everything at home. You run 10 horses a day, and to come over here with one is mentally actually exhausting, because you end up just driving yourself crazy. So I've been trying to stay busy, whether it's just really putting a lot of time into studying my horse and maybe certain little things that I can do better. Going for runs and trying to stay in shape is obviously pretty important, getting ready for what we're getting ready for. But it is difficult. I mean, it truly, to come out here with just one horse when you're used to a barn full is a huge, huge thing. And these guys here, they don't have to change their daily lives so much getting ready for a big event like the Olympics. And for us, you know, having to travel and do that kind of thing, that is a, you know, an important thing to consider. So, now I can't say I like it, but it's a good reason to come over here. So.
Assumedly, you know, whoever is selected this week, they're not going to be staying with their horses in Britain for the next 3 weeks. So there's going home, there's competing other horses, or have the Americans been told they've got to stop competing at a certain point?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let us compete any other horses.
You weren't allowed to do the bull riding, I know that.
No to the bull riding, too, which was disappointed a few of us veteran bull riders. No, but I don't think they're going to allow us to compete any horses. I mean, I think I'll probably spend a lot of time traveling around and looking at horses, and I may go to... I've got a jumper dealer that I work for sometimes in the winter just to stay sharp, and I may go over there for a few days and jump in a few horse shows just to get my eye in. In Holland, and he's got a barn full of 30, and I'll go over there and jump for a few days and, you know, jump 10 a day, max height, and kind of get back in the groove a little bit, because you do feel, it's not so much that you get rusty, you worry about getting rusty. I think that's probably what it is as much as anything. It's not like your skills deteriorate in a month. But you start to think about it, like, oh, God, am I going to be as good as I am when I'm riding 10 horses? And so I think getting over that mental hurdle is probably a big thing, and maybe just jumping a few extra horses when you can might help. So I'll probably try to do that.
What sort of thought have you put so far into the Olympic format, the different dressage tests, the quite hilly and intense cross-country in those two rounds of jumping?
Well, I think you're always trying to relate it to something that you're familiar with. You know, we've got a lot of courses in the States that will probably mimic Greenwich to a certain extent. You know, a course like Red Hills, even Bromont to a certain extent, they have elements that will probably feel similar to what we're going to see in Greenwich. And so I think you'll probably try to really think back and remember what those courses felt like, how you had to ride to make the time and to get your horse, you know, going around confidently. And I think you'll try to, you know, kind of draw on those experiences in getting ready for this. But Greenwich will be kind of probably, you know, the ultimate of those types of twisty, hilly courses. But I think we'll have seen things that are at least similar, and hopefully you're on a horse that kind of handles that stuff well.
Well, brilliant. Well, the best of luck with everything going on tomorrow, veterinary checks, and then hopefully on to the announcement, Will, from all of us to all of you.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Will.
Well, that was great talking to Boyd, who's always so popular, and to Will Coleman, very popular American boys, and thanks to them for talking to us. And they announced the team after some pretty thorough vet evaluations on Monday. They announced the US team, which will be Will Coleman, Boyd Martin on Otis Barbotier, Will Coleman on Twizzle, of course, Karen O'Connor on Mist Medicott, Tiana Coudray on Ringwood Bagister, and Philip Dutton on Mystery Whisper. So a few surprises and, you know, of course, inevitably lots of disappointment. And now they all focus and go forward. We'll be seeing some of them at Gatcombe next weekend, and I'll be at Gatcombe. But what do you think, John?
I think it's you know, as you say, there's got to be people disappointed when you bring across that many combinations. And a really difficult situation as well, because we'll talk about the Irish in a minute. But the Americans, they all had to come, and basically they were all competing with each other to win the class. It was a very tough selection paradigm that they found themselves in. So, you know, I think regardless of who they chose, they were going to have a really strong team. You bring over that many strong combinations, you've got to look at the performance that weekend. And everyone in the US selection process had to go out and try and win that class, which is very different to the way some of the other teams were using Barbary, which was getting the performance they wished out of particular combinations. So I think, you know, as Boyd says, maybe it's not the best, but, you know, if they're standing on the top step of the podium in 3 weeks' time, who would argue with it?
I'm sure they're very relieved that now the teams are out, they can breathe, they know what they're doing, they can make plans and they can push on. Because I did speak to... one of the connections with the British team, and she said that it was just a huge relief once they found out one way or the other. She hadn't even realised the pressure they were under, just the waiting and the not knowing. So congratulations to all those who made the team, and commiserations to those who didn't. And I look forward to seeing plenty of them out at Gatcombe next weekend and talking to them then. Let's find out what KPP are talking about this week, and then we're going to go Irish.
Makers of Endure Extra High Energy Supplement. Endure Extra is a blend of fat sources, including stabilized rice bran, soybean oil, and flaxseed.
Kentucky
fat
performance
is a tremendous
products.
Source of calories for horses because it delivers over 2 times the amount of energy as carbohydrates and proteins. Endure Extra is 50% fat and is therefore an excellent way to efficiently fuel horses of all ages. Endure Extra does not alter the nutrient composition of the diet and can be used in combination with a low-starch diet to provide nutritional support for equine athletes more prone to muscle stress. Ask for Kentucky Performance Products Endure Extra, high-energy supplement at your local feed store and tack supplier by name, or go to kppusa.com and learn more.
Well, thanks as ever to KPP. The Irish brought their high-performance squad to Barbary to select their team of five. As we've known since Limoulin, they are going to be sending 5 people to the Games. And they have announced their team. Well, fingers crossed they have, because it should be happening as we speak at the moment, but I think I might have the inside track on what's going on. Aoife Clark and Master Crusoe, Joseph Murphy, Electric Cruise, Michael Ryan, Ballylinch Adventure, Camilla Spears, Porter Size, Just a Jiff, and my brother, Mark Kyle, and Coolio are selected as the five, with Jeff Curran as first reserve and Sam Watson as second reserve going into London. Thank you very much. It's very, very exciting. We got the phone call on Monday night, and as we speak at the moment, I don't think it's been, you know, no one has sort of officially confirmed it on Twitter or Facebook. So we're looking at putting Horse Sport Ireland in charge of general military secrets now.
when did who did Mark Kyle before he Mark call before he called you? How far down on the list were you? That's what I want to know.
Well, when we listen to his interview in a second, he'll actually say that he texted me. He didn't. I got a phone call from my mum and texted him. we're a very dysfunctional family. We've got a few minutes. Samantha caught up with Mark yesterday under embargo. And let's hear what he has to say about being selected for the Irish team.
Mark, welcome to the radio show, the Eventing Radio Show. And congratulations on making the Olympic team.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're delighted, the whole team here, and there's and everything. It's you know, great achievement to finally get selected.
How was it? I mean, I know that Ireland didn't qualify a team per se, and then you didn't know how many spots you'd have. Has that made the whole selection process more stressful and more difficult, or do you just try and ignore that and carry on as normal?
I've tried to ignore pretty much and carry on with the horse I wanted to take to London. I was fortunate to have other horses. We put an event on in Ireland in February time to try and get some more points for riders, and I took one of the other horses there and went well and secured some points, which got us the 3 places. And then, you know, we were first and third reserve on the wait list after that. So, you know, as things panned out, then we ended up with 5. You know, unfortunately, the Argentinian rider fell at the Limoulin last week, and that gave us our 5th rider in, which was, you know, great for us, disappointing for them. And then, yeah, then that sort of opened the selection up that we were going to have a full team, which I suppose makes selection a little bit easier, and it gives us, you know, the 2 discard scores, having a full team the same as everyone else. So, yeah, it's a big relief to, you know, not have the pressure of only having 3 riders and 3 to count at London. So,
yeah. And I know that John tries hard not to talk about you, but I know he's very proud, and you come from a pretty storied eventing family and an Olympic family. Does that put extra pressure on you, or does that mean they understand what you're going through?
I don't know. It doesn't add any more pressure. I think, as you said, I think, you know, the horsey family, we all understand that, you know, things can go right and things go wrong. You know, 1 minute you're flying, the next minute you're down, and that's just horses. So, yeah, they understand. And so, no, there was certainly no pressure from that, you know, only the pressure you put on yourself to do well. And, you know, in London, it's the closest where we're going to get to being a home Olympics for us. So, yeah, you put pressure on yourself to, you know, do the best you can and put yourself in the frame to be selected.
Who was the first person you told once you found out?
my wife was here with an owner, and a few friends went for dinner, so they found out, and then I spoke to, rang my parents, and gave my brother a text, and then my owner was sort of in transit at the time, so I tried to ring him, and he was engaged, so I just sent him a text message, and then the phone was sort of beeping and all night sort of thing.
Let's talk a little bit about Coolio. Tell us a little bit about him, where you found him, and how long you've had him, and what's he done, and how's preparation has been.
He's a 10-year-old now. I got him as the beginning of a 7-year-old season. The owner, Ronnie Bartlett, has had horses with me for a number of years, and he has another guy who rides a bit for him up in Scotland, brings him on to sort of novice level, and then the plan was he was always coming to me, and yeah, we've just worked away steadily over the years. This is sort of always our, in the back of our mind as a goal, if the horse is going to be good enough, and he's proved himself through the years, and this year he got selected for the Europeans last year, which was great. A little bit unexpected, as he was only a 9-year-old and hadn't done an awful lot, and this year he's come out real strong and matured a bit and grown up, and he's won 2 advanced this year and been 4th in a CIC 3-star and did a nice double care just steady at Barbary at the weekend. So yeah, touch wood now, everything this year has gone, we've sort of set our plan and everything has gone according to plan. So
what kind of a horse is he to ride, and what kind of a horse is he in the stables?
He's very laid back. He's a big horse. He's 17 hands, maybe a little bit more. Very laid back, you would say. You know, he's sort of lazy. Ever so easy to do, and he's easy to ride. He's, ever so, trainable, and doesn't get flustered about too much. He's a good jumper, very good cross-country, and actually, wouldn't be the fastest horse in the world, but he's actually very quick cross-country because he doesn't pull. He's probably one of the fastest horses on the circuit this year. He's done 2 advanced this year. He's been the only one inside the time, and purely because he's just got a big galloping stride and just stays in a nice rhythm all the way, which is kind of why I had him set his sights on London, because I think that's going to be a tight course, and it's going to suit him because he's not going to be pulling and trying to run up and down the hills. He's just going to get in a nice rhythm, and he's very agile and stuff, so I think it'll suit him there.
Is he an Irish horse?
He is an Irish horse, yeah. He's by a horse called Garib, which is a thoroughbred horse.
Yeah, he's lovely. He looked great at Barbary too.
Yeah, he's got a lot of presence about him, and it's like driving a Rolls Royce, really. He's just real comfortable and just got a good cruising speed, and just very straight and got plenty of scope and jump. He's a pleasure to ride.
And this won't be your first Olympics.
No, I went to Athens in 2004.
But this will be sort of, like you said, the closest thing you'll ever get to having it on home turf. Having one under your belt, what do you think, how will you approach it differently? Are there lessons you've learned from being on the team before and things you'll go in feeling like you've learned?
I think there's always things, from any team event, you always, pick up little bits and pieces. And I suppose, the Olympics haven't been there once, I suppose. Yeah, there's a little bit of sort of in awe of it, but haven't been there once, and you haven't got quite that sort of factor. But that's going to be an advantage, hopefully, to help the other teammates out that haven't been there before, just to keep everyone's feet on the ground. Sure, you want to enjoy it, but we're there to do a job as well, and make sure we're focused on that. And then once it's over, then we can enjoy the sort of take it all in and the atmosphere and everything for a couple of days when it's all over.
Great. What will you do between now and the games?
With that horse, he will just continue his training, his fitting work, exercise lessons, and just jumping, just keeping everything just ticking along, really. I gave him a little bit of a break before Barbary, and just to freshen him up, and now you've got 3 weeks now just to fine-tune everything, really.
Do the Irish have a training camp, or you'll stay in individuals in your individual yards and then meet up for the Olympics?
Yeah, we're going to stay pretty much our own bases, and then I think we're going to do just a dressage competition at Aston Awards the week before. So the Irish riders will come over and base over here for that, and then we'll go straight into London on the Tuesday morning. I think we're booked in to go there.
Brilliant. Well, I might have to pay a visit to Aston Awards then.
There you go.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Mark, and congratulations again. And thanks for speaking to the Eventing Radio Show. And we look forward to seeing you in London.
Please, God, yeah, hopefully. We'll see you there.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Well, many thanks to Mark for speaking to us, and many thanks to John for sharing that little secret. It was quite a thrill, and I was glad I managed to keep it for that long. And it was wonderful to talk to Mark. Ginny Elliott had a tough job to do. There were so many great Irish riders out at Barbary, and most of them performed really well. I did feel bad for Sam Watson. I think there's lots of riders, you know, this weekend who had their dreams dashed, and it's hard not to feel sorry for them. But on the other hand, it's hard not to feel excited for the ones that do get picked. I mean, that's just the name of the game, I suppose, but that's why I'm talking about it and not doing it. I mean, it's heartbreaking, John.
It absolutely is. And, you know, and when you're going through the team structure, even just as a supporter like me, and things happen like they happen to Izzy Power or Sam Watson. I mean, I really thought Sam would still be picked on the basis of other performance, but he knew in his heart that afternoon that was the end of him, which, you know, again, just shows why he's doing it and I'm not. But, yeah, my heart really goes out to them. Ginny had a difficult time. She had people, you know, coming to their prime just at that moment who maybe hadn't been in the A part of her radar. And, you know, she selected the team at the end of the day. And I'm sure it wasn't easy because she had lots of good performances to choose from. And as Sam Watson's dad, John, said, it's great that Ireland is now in the position of actually selecting for the Olympics rather than you five are left standing. Go.
Yeah. Well, we had another huge team announcement. I went down on Tuesday morning to the Kiwi team press conference where they announced their team, which sadly Clark Johnson, as I said, he withdrew his horse, and the team will be Mark Todd, no surprises, Andrew Nicholson, no surprises, Mark rides NZB Campino, Andrew Nicholson rides Nereo, Jock Padgett rides Clifton Promise, Caroline Power will be seeing Lenormore around Greenwich. I think that's one of the most popular announcements we've been allowed to announce yet. And Janelle Richards on Flintstar, which was maybe somewhat of a surprise. And the reserve will be Lucy Jackson. Not knowing very much about Janelle, I caught up with Janelle and then had a quick few words with Jock Padgett to find out how he keeps his horses fit. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You're something of a dark horse, especially in America, where we haven't seen or heard much of you and everyone else gets the limelight. Did you feel like the dark horse, or did you always feel like you might be in with a shot?
Yeah, no, I did. I always felt I had a chance. You know, you've got to sort of look at the whole team makeup, and yes, you've got individual chances, and I'm certainly not an individual chance, but you know, his 3-day record over the last 2 years is impeccable. So, you know, as far as a guaranteed jumper, fast, he's it.
I saw him at Bramman. Were you disappointed when Badminton was cancelled?
Yeah, I was, because, you know, I sort of felt it was a bit of a disadvantage for me personally, because he is a real 4-star horse and he's a real 3-day horse. You know, where others might not come out and jump so well on the last day, he really shines. So I sort of felt it, and obviously his dressage being his weaker phase, I need a proper track, proper distance, you know, to make that climb up the leaderboard, so to speak. So at the time, it definitely felt like a disadvantage, but everyone was in the same boat, and I was lucky I had Burley in the bag last year, so it wasn't the end of the world.
Tell us a little bit about him. How old is he? Where did you find him? How long have you had him?
Flintstar, it's a funny story, really. He was, oddly enough, he was bred by my fiancé's family, and they sold him as a 2-year-old to someone. He was then bought by our ex-head girl, and she broke him in and did all the work. And she'd always told us about this horse she had in New Zealand. She wanted to bring it over. So eventually she conned her dad into putting it on a plane for her. So he arrived over here, and you know, we sort of saw him jump, and we were like, actually, it looks quite nice. And she was only ever going to sort of go through to intermediate level. That was her ambition. Darnell Public was her name. And so she did that, and then we promptly stole him off her. And he was actually Tim's horse for a year. And then Tim broke his leg, and I stole him off him. So he's sort of come in a very roundabout way.
And I presume she doesn't know yet?
Yeah, she'll know very soon. Yeah. So she is over here. She's not working with us anymore. She finished last year after doing sort of 4.5 years. But when she finished, she still owns half of them. And when she finished, we said, if we ever got there, did she want to come with me? So she's actually grooming for us at the games.
Oh, what a great story. Mm. And what's he like to ride? And I mean, you said his dressage and his strong pace, but Mark Todd's doing his hardest to improve that.
Yeah, he's arrogant, headstrong, uncooperative.
A Kiwi man.
Kiwi bloke, yeah. He doesn't fancy dressage too much. He tolerates it. But we have worked hard on it in the past, and he looks a different horse these days. We've worked hard on his body as well. He is just a little thoroughbred. There's not a lot of him. He's not built, compared to a lot of the horses these days. So we have worked hard on the phase, and I'm confident we will produce a worthy test.
How did you hurt your wrist?
One of those just really stupid things. I fell off opening a gate on a young horse. I know, we jump all these massive tracks around the world and then go and fall off opening a gate.
Yes! But it'll be better in a couple of weeks.
I think I could probably ride now, to be fair. I actually had a ride yesterday and it felt very, very good. But I think just given the circumstances, I just think we just play it safe this week. And then I think life can resume as normal Monday.
But you'll go to Arkan and watch Todd, right?
Yep, I'll go to Arkan. I mean, I spend a bit of time, obviously, watching him work and keep very involved in the horse, for the past week while I've been off him. And jump back on.
And does Mark help you at home anyway, or is that just...
No, it was sort of... I just sort of started at Christmas time with this one particular horse. He's a unique horse. He's a very different horse. And Mark has so much experience with thoroughbreds as well. And, I sort of felt at the end of last year that we weren't... While I felt we were making progress, we weren't getting the results. So I sort of felt we needed to try something different. So far, it's been good.
Where were you when you got the telephone call last night?
I was just at home last night, and I got the call. Well, obviously, I'd been expecting the call sort of...
One way or the other.
All day, one way or another. It was either going to be a yay or a nay. And But I was a bit speechless, which it doesn't happen very often. And I still, just feel a bit,
So did you sleep much last night?
Not a lot, no. I took a long time to get to sleep, and I was awake very early.
And you called your parents even though you swore them secrecy?
Yeah. So I think it goes out New Zealand 8 o'clock, so I told them they had to keep their lips sealed and don't tell us all.
Do you have any expectations of the games? I mean, in your dreams or in your... What do you...
I don't have any expectations as such. I do think, we've got a great team and we've got some genuine individual chances, I feel, and you never know what happens on the day. Past championships show that. But I think if things just go our way a little bit, then I think the Kiwis are a real threat. And like I said, even though I'm personally not an individual chance, I feel like I can contribute a very worthy team score and a reliable one. So.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's nice to get to meet you.
Thank you.
So, Doc, here we are. Welcome to the Eventing Radio Show. And you've just been named to your first Olympic Games. How does it feel?
It feels great. It's my first time, and it's all new to me, but it's all very exciting, and we're hoping for the best.
And you're going to go on Promise. How is Promise?
Promise is great. He pulled up really well after Kentucky. You would never guess that he just travelled around the world and did a major event. He's feeling good. He's fit and he's galloping and jumping well, and he's done one little event since Kentucky and went well now, and he's just got to do the dressage and show jump in at Gatcombe, and then he's ready to go.
And are you riding at Arkin?
Yes. I'm taking a horse called Bulletproof there.
Okay, yeah, I saw him at Barbary. And Promise also did the combine training test at Barbary very well.
Yeah, he did he's fantastic. He's really, really matured in that area, and he went and did a 43.1, which had him in second after the dressage, and did a good show jumping round. The time was quite tight, so I went a little bit fast, and he got inside the time but had a rail down.
We spoke before the dressage at Barbary, and you said you were only going to get on him and go straight into the arena, which isn't something that you should do for the big events. You should get on him and ride him a lot more. Do you think you might change your mind now, having done such a nice dressage at Barbary?
No, because I was still... I mean, I think I can get better if I have him a little more settled than that. So I'll still stick to the plan because, you know, the plan works at the big ones and I won't change it at the Olympics. I've always gone to the one days and just done that and gone easy on him. But at the big ones, we're much more thorough and we make sure of it a little bit more.
And he's a nice thoroughbred-looking horse. Does he take a lot to get fit? What will you do at home to keep him? I mean, it's a hilly testing course that everyone keeps stressing at Greenwich. What will you do?
Well, I'll just do... I mean, I'll prepare him like I prepared him for Burley. You know, he's already done a four-star this year and he only had 10 days off afterwards, so he'll still be running off the back of that. He'll still be fit, and it's just a matter of keeping him fit now.
So what do you... I mean, just tell me a little bit about... I'm just interested about your fitness. Is it hills? Is it interval training? Is it... What do you do? Swimming?
With Promise, no, he does... I have a one-mile hill which we trot up, which is a very steep hill. It's up a road. I do that once a week. I say gallop every 5 days, up 8 furlongs, and it's up a hill as well. And we work them quite hard on that. And, yeah, we do some flat work and jumping and... interval training and some mileage. We do a lot of mileage on them.
And then you have training camp, which is pretty close to you, which is handy. And then, of course, London is being London, so everything's working out well. It must be lovely to go into training camp with, you know, Janelle said she never dreamed that she'd be on a team with people that she'd, Mark and Andrew, that she'd used to get up in the middle of the night and watch on TV at the Olympics. Is it the same for you?
Yeah, I think that's where we're so lucky that, you know, we're on a team with so much experience with Andrew, Mark and Caroline, that these guys are such legends, and we're to be able to do my first Olympics with these guys around us is it's priceless. No one can pay for that.
Great. Well, best of luck, and we can't wait to enjoy it vicariously through you as well, and we'll talk to you as much as you can. And thanks a million, John.
No worries, thank you.
And also, what I noticed about the Kiwi team, John, is the genuine friendliness and camaraderie between them all. It was a really fun morning, which was a breath of fresh air after the tension of Barbary.
I've got some Olympic facts for you.
Oh, good. Go on.
First of all, after all the Clifton horses we've seen, I discovered yesterday that Andrew Nicholson's middle name is Clifton.
Yes.
We should point out that Andrew, if you have been living under a rock and didn't check out the live results, did take a 1-2 at Barbary, so he did very well. Toddy managed to miss a fence at Barbary, so I think you still wouldn't bet against the two of them, and that'll just make him hungrier to get it right in London. Toddy and Nicholson are selected for their 7th games. If they ride, though, it will be their 6th games because they both missed one of the games they were selected for. And Lenimore is by Seacrest, which is the sire of Cruising, which is the sire of Mr. Medicott, which is the sire of... Mr. Medicott isn't, but Cruising is the sire of Electric Cruise and is also the dam sire of Aoife Clark's Master Crusoe, and there's probably more Cruising Seacrest horses in the Olympics, and I'm going to track them all down because my dad's got a stallion by Cruising, and we know Mary McCann, who stood him at stud over in County Kildare, and he's a fantastic producer of show jumpers and eventers and dressage horses. Flexible, of course, and Rich Fellas is a Cruising horse. So.
Yeah, and I actually saw one show jumping just before I came over to England at the Kentucky Horse Park the other day in the Grand Prix. And was it Eddie Macken who rode a Cruising, or Cruising himself?
I just trying to remember if Eddie did. I think he did. Edward Doyle did, and Trevor Coyle definitely did. I think he came to an English rider at one stage as well. I'd have to look it all up. It's a little bit longer ago than I keep in the immediate access memory.
Well, you're quite a font of knowledge, John. One of the fun things about Barbary is they have the Outside Chance, which is a travelling bar and restaurant, I suppose you could call it, which also made its debut at Badminton a couple of years ago and has become phenomenally popular. And it's a great place to go and relax, have something nice to drink, talk to your friends, see everyone. All the riders are in there. And then in the evenings, it gets a little bit more like a nightclub and gets a bit livelier. Although I think Laura Collett was refused a drink.
She was.
Which I spoke to Freddie Tulloch, who's the founder of the Outside Chance, the travelling Outside Chance, and spoke to him about it. And he was mortified when I told him about Laura, and he said he'd find a way to make it up to her. But let's hear a little bit more about the Outside Chance.
So, Freddie, welcome to the Eventing Radio Show. We're here at Barbary, and you're here because you're the owner and founder of the Outside Chance. Is that right?
Nearly. It's such a long-winded answer. I'll just say nearly, and maybe move on. I own the outside part. There is a pub called the Outside Chance, which is no more than a mile and a half from here. It's the real thing. It's a real lovely British pub. I don't own the pub. I run the outdoor events.
The outdoor events are fantastic. You're at Badminton, you're here at Barbary, and it started on a bet with a horse.
Well, the people who own the pub, a great man. He runs a couple of nightclubs in London, and he just loves this part of the world. It's absolutely stunning. He'd been down here for a while, and he had a racehorse, and they really fancied it. And they had a bet with the bookie, who didn't fancy it, and it started at 100-1, and he had a rather sizable wager on it, and the horse won, and he bought the local pub with the winnings. And the pub was called something boring like the cow's head or something, and he said, right, we've got to change it. It's called the Outside Chance, and I think it's a great name. It's a great name for just to take out to these sporting events.
Let's talk. The trademark is you're at the premier events, and you have an amazing view of the cross country. You sell drinks, food. It's all in a very comfortable setting.
The whole point about the Outside Chance is that I used to run work in hospitality. I had a company where we used to take clients to events, and places like horse racing and the eventing side, I just thought there's an opportunity, because if you're just an ordinary punter, if you've not got the smart hospitality, there's nowhere to go. And if there was somewhere to go, what would you want? And you want it to be comfortable, lively, a decent drink and a nice glass, served by a professional bar staff. You want to have a great view. You want to be in the heart of the action. You want good food. And maybe when the event's over, to let your hair down and have a bit of a party. And I don't see it as rocket science. It just doesn't exist. And we seem to, Badminton were the first to take us on board, and they were, I think, a little bit nervous. Then, having too much fun there is could be dangerous. But we've settled in there. I think hopefully we're part of the furniture there. And Nigel Bunter, who owns Barbary, the pub is a mile from here, so it just makes sense to be here. And he's a man who has great vision for this place, and we love being at both events. We're here at Barbary, had a pretty good response, and then we move on to the racing scene, and we're at Cheltenham in November for a big meeting then. It's very different, although the crowd's very similar.
Who parties harder, eventers or racing?
Well, I saw the eventers and the jockeys, the horse racing jockeys.
Yeah, the eventers won.
Doing their, well,
the
they won.
Riding.
Well, you say that. They won yesterday. Today, the jockeys won. So I think that's about a fair result. One, call it one all. And I think if you put them man to man or man to lady in the bar here, I think, again, it'd be a high scoring draw. But we're very lucky because since we've been going, AP McCoy, he's the number one jockey in this country. Champion jockey for 16 years, I think, has now taken a slice of the Outside Chance. And so, on the racing front, to have someone like him associated with the outside chance, it's only going to take us to more events. What's really nice on the eventing side is that you really get to meet the mega superstars. And sometimes I think someone like Mark Todd, you know, OK, you might look at his mantelpiece and see a few photos and go, you know, a couple of Olympic medals. You know,
Five badmintons.
Yeah, in England, we don't really have that. And it's mega. And to, you know, to be close up and personal to somebody who is a world superstar, it only happens in the racing and the eventing world. Or you go to a football match, you go to Wembley or whatever, you're not going to bump into David Beckham at the bar, are you?
No.
It's the outside chance. Another thing is, it's a public bar. It's for the public. It's not. There's no badges. No badges. It's, you know, but yet it's a simple concept. But you know, that's where all the stars sort of end up.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks, Freddie.
Pleasure.
Well, it's been a busy week, John, and I'm off to Legoland this afternoon with my children, so they finally get to do something non-horsey, which we're happy about. And it has stopped raining.
Next week, Samantha, we're going to be all about Arken. It's part of the FEI Nations Cup series. It's, you know, some of the Olympic teams that we already know about are sending horses there. I think you said Andrew Nicholson and Nerio are going over to Arken.
That's right. Nice little warm-up.
It's a nice little warm-up, exactly. But after Arken, we should have the German team and I think also the Swedish team. So two more teams, fingers crossed, next Monday. And we're going to talk to Eventing Nation John for a bit more reaction to the American team next week as well. We'd love to know what you think of all these teams. And actually, why not get into a bit of speculation about who might get the Swedish or German nod? We'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/eventingradio. Let's join the conversation. But we've got some of the weeks to do, I think, Samantha.
Of course, yes. Yes, my horse of the week this week was Will Fawdry's Andromaque, who looked amazing. One of the best round the cross country at Barbary this weekend. And obviously one cross country performance doesn't put you on the team, but they looked fantastic. And I love that little mare, and it's definitely not the last we've seen of her. And Will's already, he's been capped for America at Olympics and at championships, and he will be again. So that's my horse of the week. And my Twitter of the week is Sinead C. Halpin, at Sinead_C_Halpin on Twitter. You can follow her, and we'll put the link to that in there. And I'm sorry not to see her on the team. And she handled it with real grace and class. You can follow her on Facebook too, but she's fun to follow on Twitter, and I highly recommend her.
My horse of the week has to be for cruising around and just destroying the Barbary course in customary style, Nicola Wilson's Opposition Buzz. I am buzzed, as they say, that we are going to see him around the Greenwich course. He's almost certainly going to be first out for the British team, which means he's going to be early out on the day. We all remember him being first out at the World Equestrian Games and making that course look so easy.
Yeah.
He's a big horse, he's onward striding, and he gets going. So whether Greenwich will entirely suit him, but Buzz just knows when he's on stage and he will do the business. I know it.
Aren't we lucky, Buzz and Lenormand together?
You know, brilliant.
Yep.
Lauren Shannon is my Twitter of the week. She grew up, was born here, grew up in Utah, back over here competing for Great Britain. She's a young rider, gold medalist. The reason I've chosen Lauren this week, she's at Shannon Eventing, which is O-N-S-H-A-N-N-O-N Eventing. She is going to be part of the GBR development squad that goes to the Games. So hopefully we'll get some feeling from her of what it's like to be part of the team structure, preparing herself for potential selection for future games. She's just been at Loughborough University all this week, where Team GBR have their training camp for all sports, and being issued lots of uniforms and tracksuits and things, and having a great time with Gemma Tattersall and Willa Newton as well. So check out Shannon Eventing.
Yeah, she's great fun, and she's a great... We should get her on soon, because she's fun to talk to. I remember talking to her at Bali. Well, thank you to all our guests this week, Lucinda Fredericks, Boyd Martin, Will Coleman, Mark Kyle, Janelle Richards, Jock Padgett and Freddie Tulloch. Please visit our homepage for links to their various websites and social media. And you can subscribe to the Eventing Radio Show via iTunes to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. Please check out our Facebook page too, and look for the Eventing Radio Show. You can follow John on Twitter at John Kyle Speaks, and I'm at Samantha L. Clark, and you can also follow at Horse Radio. You can contact me by emailing me at Samantha@horseradionetwork.com or John at John@horseradionetwork.com. Please support our sponsors, Bit of Britain and Kentucky Performance Products, who make the show possible. And thank you very much for listening. Have a safe week, keep in touch, and enjoy your eventing. And we'll see you next week.